Hello and welcome back to another episode of Insights from Sightloss Friendly Church. I'm Lynn Davis and with me I have Matthew Horspool, and today we are going to be talking about church buildings and what is good to keep in mind when accommodating people with sight loss.
Yes, indeed. And this is something that surprisingly in the Sight Loss Friendly Church team, we get asked quite a lot and we get told quite a lot in the Sight Loss Friendly Church team. You know, people will come up and they'll say, well, we would love to be sight loss friendly, but we couldn't possibly be. And you sort of, you know, you have questions and you say, well, why not? And they say, oh, well, because there's this really rickety spiral staircase to get in and the floor is really uneven. And I just, you know, I just don't think a person with sight loss is going to really cope with this. And this is bizarre to me. This is really, really bizarre because I sort of think, well, yes, but just because I'm blind doesn't mean I can't go up and down steps. And I think quite often people conflate blindness with old age and the other things that go along with old age. And the last blind person they saw might be 85 and arthritic and blind and therefore may have had trouble getting up and down stairs, but that's not necessarily the case for a blind person.
No, exactly. I actually remember there was a beauty salon that I wanted to attend and they were really fussing about which way I should get in because they said, oh, you can walk around the back because there's a nice ramp there. And it was so complicated to walk around the back. And I just said, well, can't I just go in the front door and walk down the steps to the nail bar? And they were like, well, if you think that's not too risky. And I was like, well, no, it's not. So the fact that someone has sight loss is not a reason. That fact alone is not a reason to worry about steps. Like you touched on, if someone is arthritic or has any additional reasons why they find steps difficult, then that is a conversation to be had. But purely based on sight loss, that's not really the case.
No, I think one thing that might be worth exploring a little bit is the idea that the way totally blind people move and navigate is quite different to the way that partially sighted people may choose to navigate around, in that part of the reason I think why steps are not such a problem for you and I is because we're quite comfortable walking around with a long cane, and the long cane will find the steps and we'll just deal with it, you know. And if there's a rail, we might hold onto the rail. If there isn't a rail, I don't know about you, I'm actually slightly scared of going downstairs, not so much upstairs but downstairs, so I might choose to go down backwards or something. But you know, generally I'll find a way of getting down those stairs and it won't be too much of a problem. Possibly for somebody who is partially sighted, whose depth perception isn't quite as good as it could be, and they're not using a cane to navigate, maybe they would struggle a little bit with steps. Not struggle with steps themselves, but struggle to know where they are.
Yeah, but that's more to do with a visual sort of a reason than an actual physical reason. So maybe in that case, it could be useful with lighting or some other way to mark the steps. So it's very popular now with all the train stations and tube stations. Well, not all train stations, but it's more and more common now to have this tactile thing before the steps. And actually, that can be done really easily if somebody needs to have that and feel that under their feet as well. If that makes it easier, you could just take some kind of thin rope of some kind and tape it to the top of the steps if there is no natural way of feeling, if there's no natural bumps or anything. And especially if it's a building that you are utilizing for a church, and those things can be put in place. So there are ways of doing that.
Yeah, and making sure there's good color contrast as well, right? So that the person with partial sight can see, oh, right, there's something strange on the floor. I better be careful here. And that might then alert them to the fact that there is a step incoming.
Exactly, yeah. So it wouldn't necessarily have to be tactile. It could be a strip of yellow duct tape or something.
Yeah, just tape would be fine. I must admit, I do find tactile quite useful.
So do I.
And the interesting thing about that is that you put tactile at the top of the steps and at the bottom of the steps, but you don't put it on any landings.
Yeah, because the tactile signals that the steps are finished. So when there's not a tactile and there are no immediate steps, I'm assuming that there's a landing.
Yeah.
And then I'm anticipating more steps.
Yeah, likewise. So we talked a bit about that. And lighting, I think, is the other thing that people talk about quite often. They say, oh, our building is very dark, or, you know, our building's got stained glass, but it doesn't let an awful lot of light through. That's not something we can really talk about a huge amount, because neither of us have seen light, other than to say that, yes, actually, good lighting is probably a good idea.
And also, it's a very good idea then to talk to the people at your church who might benefit from good lighting, because sight varies so much. You know, you've got short-sighted, long-sighted people with tunnel vision. So I wouldn't be surprised if people perceive different types of light differently as well. So we are back to the having the conversation of what's the particular need of the individual.
Hmm. The final thing I wanted to just touch on in this had to do with layouts of buildings. And it's something that perhaps you have a bit more experience of than me. You know, in an Anglican church where you've got pews, the pews are fixed. So you walk into a church, you know exactly what's going on, you know exactly where the pews are going to be, you know exactly the distance between them, you know where the spaces are. So, you know, well, if, you know, I've got to the end of the pew, I'm definitely in an aisle now, and that aisle is going to be clear. And there's this much space between the front pew and the steps to go up to the chancel. And all of this is fairly logical. I actually find that if I'm in a more modern building where there are chairs, chairs are more comfortable than pews, right? But I actually find that I'm a bit more disorientated, because inevitably they haven't been put back in the same place every time, or the layout of the building might have been changed for a particular service, or just anything like that, really. And it can be really disorientating.
It really can be, and especially because in a lot of those buildings, they're not always, they're used for other things. So, for example, my church is in a school building, so we can't keep the chairs the same. But I think it's a case of, at least for me, it has been a case of knowing the actual building that we're in makes it more comfortable for me. If there are chairs standing in the way, people usually guide me. If I need to go up the front to sing, I usually stay at the front when the preaching happens, because it's just easier for me. When I go down, there's always somebody just guiding me. But it's a case of knowing the particular building that you're in and getting familiar with that one, as well as guiding. And also because, as you mentioned, we use long canes. I use a cane, and that really helps me sort of move around. I don't barge around in a church after the service. I just don't do that, because I don't know where the chairs are. But having the cane at least allows me to kind of go back to whether I can feel if there's something in front of me that shouldn't be there, and I can sort of make my way around it, or somebody will then inevitably come up and say, oh, don't go there because there's an amplifier on that side and you need to stay away from that. So yeah, there are ways around it, but I think guiding, getting familiarized are two things that can really help.
Mm. Well, and if there's a particular change, so for example, if a church layout is normally quite static, but for a particular service, the chairs have been put in a completely different place, you know, like in a semicircle or something, then some warning either in advance or on the door to say, look, actually, this, it's very different today, it can go a long way.
Yeah. So keep that communication going. Just tell them as soon as possible. And then at least people will feel included in knowing that they've been thought of. That's really important.
Mm. So at Torch Trust, as part of Sight Loss Friendly Church, we have a number of resources that might be able to help further with this. And of course, we'll come back to it in future editions of this podcast. But one of the things I should draw your attention to before we finish this episode is something called Focus On. This is a benefit of Sight Loss Friendly Church. If you are interested in signing up, if you go to a church and you think your church is doing all the right things and should identify as a sight loss friendly church, it's completely free. And one of the advantages of that is our Focus On sessions, one of which fairly recently was about this whole topic. And there's lots of practical guidance available and recordings available if you sign up as a sight loss friendly church. So it'd be wonderful to have you as part of Sight Loss Friendly Church. And of course, it's wonderful to have you listening to this podcast. And as I say, we'll revisit this and many other topics in the coming weeks. If you'd like to get hold of us, you can email slfc, that's for Sight Loss Friendly Church, so slfc@torchtrust.org. You can call us on 01858 438 260, or you can visit our website at torchtrust.org, and the specific Sight Loss Friendly Church page of that website will be included in the show notes.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll bring another exciting episode to you soon. And until that time, goodbye.
Bye for now.